Howdy. Outside the Box isn't 100 years old yet, but some things are. Today's topic is bread and roses. That was the call 100 years ago during the textile strike of 1912 in Lawrence, Massachusetts. "We want bread, but we want roses too," cried thousands of workers who went out on strike for better wages and working conditions. And the 100th anniversary of the strike will be commemorated on Labor Day in Lawrence with the Bread and Roses Festival. That strike was part of a much larger movement of the International Workers of the World, the IWW, also called the Wobblies, to organize all working people. They were obsessively idealistic about what workers could accomplish. Where are all the idealists these days? Here's the beginning of the IWW's preamble, quote, "The working class and the employing class have nothing in common. There can be no peace so long as hunger and want are found among millions of the working people, and the few who make up the employing class have all the good things of life. Between these two classes, a struggle must go on until the workers of the world organize as a class, take possession of the means of production, abolish the wage system, and live in harmony with the earth," end quote. The IWW achieved great gains for working people throughout the country during its brief heyday from about 1905 until World War I. Workers had much to lose: food on the table, a place to live, a stable job. Yet they did not hesitate to strike, for weeks or months, in any season, at the drop of a hat. They knew their strength was in their labor, to give it or withhold it. Wobblies often risked arrest and many times filled local jails during strikes or free speech campaigns, where they spoke out on soapboxes until arrested by local police. The IWW was accused of sabotage, a charge it rarely denied, although the number of actual incidents were very few. They practiced worker solidarity and came to each other's aid. Their motto was, "An injury to one is an injury to all." Many opposed World War I as an act of imperialism. Their little red songbook, Songs of the Workers, is still in print, and a classic collection of songs worth learning and singing. I especially like Solidarity Forever, and There is Power in the Union, in my 35th edition, published in 1984. Many see the IWW as a group that was 100 years ahead of its time. And the parallels between Wobblies and today's occupiers aren't accidental. Not surprisingly, the U.S. government and business interests were scared silly of the International Workers of the World. They called the IWW subversive. They arrested Wobblies for striking, for attempting to organize, even for speaking out publicly. The FBI brought agitators to trial and deported those not born in the U.S. The U.S. government tried to crush the movement, and to some extent it succeeded. But what if the Wobblies' organizing had borne even more fruit? We'd probably have a working class with better wages and working conditions. The divide between low and high incomes would be much less. Respect for the working person and union membership would be much higher. Maybe the wage system would have been abolished. The IWW is a piece of U.S. history that everyone should know about, but few do. There are books and films about this unique movement in the history of working people. And the IWW does still exist in the skeleton form. Check it out at www.iww.org. Would you have joined the IWW if you'd been a working stiff 100 years ago? I'm Larry Danziger, ready to get on my soapbox for the IWW. Oh, I'm doing it now.